2:23. Hej! Begynd med at bære det kærne kærne fra Havajotsad. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands are crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having those revenge of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but he denied him, the holy one and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, Christ in due time died for the ungodly. Not to die, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more we now being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Chapter 6. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, now that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen also of me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father. Now, just briefly, Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved, and have raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. should vote. And just finally, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9, they shall show of us what manner of entry we have unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, if you were to ask for a text upon which I wish to hang my remarks tonight, it is found in Corinthians 15, and it is all embraced in six words. Six words, and they are so simple that the youngest child here can understand them, and they are so profound that the oldest saint here can indeed be blessed by a reminder of them. And the six words are, they are an all-embracing six. They cover a most momentous work, tremendous work, and yet it's just one of those little quirks of scripture, those little niceties, how that God can, in the space of a few words, put together such momentous truths. And these six words are, Christ died. Was buried, rose again. Now, I think you'll agree with me that here we are, the fundamentals of the gospel, in such terms that even the very youngest, the most simple-minded, could indeed receive. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And this is indeed, as I say again, these are the fundamental principles of the gospel, and that's what I wish to speak about tonight. Christ died. Two words. Two words. Just think of it. Two words. Christ. Think of who he was. Think of what he did. He died. Christ. The anointed man. God's anointed. The one who, by an incarnation that is coming here in flesh and blood, like you and I, came from heaven. Christ came from heaven. He was the pinnacle of all glory. As I said last night, if he moved at all, he must come down. He cannot go higher. He was at the very top. He was the Most High. Creator, sustainer of the end of the earth. By him, all things were made. And wonder of wonders, the Creator, who indeed is served by everything, all the creation served him, all things serve him, because all things are subordinate to him, being Lord of all, God of all, blessed forever. And so any position that he took must indeed be a subordinate condition. And that place he took by his very descent, oh wonder of wonders, and did the sovereign of the sky stoop down to man's estate and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, he did. That's just it. And that's the greatness of the love. That's the measure of the love of God toward us. From the top to the bottom, Christ died and was buried and was buried the domain of death and rose again. And these are the fundamentals of the gospel. Christ died, was buried, rose again. Now, don't be under any misapprehension. The death of Christ was no mere accident. No mere accident, as I wish to prove and to show you from Acts 2, the first scripture I read, God had a finger in it. Oh yes, I had a finger in it. We all know, we read it this morning, that there he was taken by wicked hands, nailed to a malefactor's gibbet. They said he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. He was surrounded by those who, and we read this morning, were his enemies, wrongfully. What happened he done to them? Nothing. He went about doing good, dispensing on every hand the blessing and the grace of God. Healing the sick, his sight to the blind, unstopping their ears, giving strength to the paralytic, rescuing many from death. And yet, those hands which did so much good, they nailed them, as the little hymn says, to a cross of wood. Man had abandoned it. If man said, away with it, we'll not have this man away from us. Pilate was determined that he didn't go, and said, yes, away with him. Away with him, we will not have this man. And man had a finger in the death of Christ. Yeah, that's just a colloquial expression, isn't it? Had a finger in it. My dear friend, the world is guilty. The world is guilty of the murder of God's dear son. Men have committed many sins. Many men sin against themselves in their habits and bad habits and what they do. But sin in its real proper aspect, sin is against God. Against God. We can sin against ourselves, we can do things by bad habits, smoking and drinking and things like that that are not good for us. But sin, the real essence of sin, is against God. All sin is against God. And the greatest sin, the acme of all sin in this world, found its expression when this world crucified the Lord Jesus. This world stands guilty of the death of Christ. The greatest miscarriage of justice that this world has ever seen. Why would he not be done? Crucified. As I said, as man has a finger in the pie, God has a finger in it. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and authority of God. And so this simple gospel, as we often term it, which is, in a way, simple. Christ died, was buried, then rose again. You can't have anything simpler than that. It involves God, it involves heaven, it involves earth, and it involves hell. It involves men, because men were guilty of the murder of God's dear Son. It involves God, because God sent His Son. Here it is not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Heaven is involved. Earth is involved. And hell is involved. For it was on earth that Christ took earth that Christ came. It was on earth that Christ was murdered. And the murderers of Christ can never be denied. And the rejection of Christ can lead you and land you in hell. So the simple gospel that we often talk about is one of the most profoundest things there is in the world. When I hear saints of God say, no, it's only a gospel meeting, that's my heart. That's my heart. Only a gospel meeting. There's nothing greater ever in the world than the gospel. Nothing. It involves God. It involves man. It involves heaven. It involves earth. It involves hell. Man is guilty on one side. But all the wonder of this. Wonder of it is that God and only God can override evil and bring out of evil good. Only God. Only God. And this is the kind of God that we know. Our God is a great God. Great to be praised. A great God. Great in strength. Great in majesty. Great in thought, great in resource, great in ability, great in love, great in mercy, great in grace, great in kindness. Great. And we learn from Acts 2 that Christ was indeed delivered by the determinate counsel, the Godhead, counseling. Eternity past, as we have to speak, because we can't speak any other way. Eternity in a matter of present. But we can't think of that. We have to think of things having a beginning and an end, because we are finite, and God is infinite. And He was delivered by the determinate counsel. Determined in the counsel of the Godhead, ere time began, that salvation and redemption would indeed be wrought out and worked out in Christ here upon us. That's wonderful. Wonderful. That's the little thing that Peter brings before the people. The man, when he announces the gospel so long ago, in Acts 2, verily, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders, those were the things that he mentioned in the Bible, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, God for him this. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands are crucified, and slain, whom God has raised up, having been prevented of death, because it was not possible that he should be fallen of the cross. It was not possible. Why? Because he was who he was. Although he changed his estate as being the Godhead, God eternal, co-equal with the Father, God over all, blessed forever, but although he changed that place where everything served him, all creatures, all planets, all worlds, everything, all the creation, the universe, subservient to him, angels is before us. As God, the source of life, gave him his life, and he could never die. But he came into conditions where he could die. He became a man. And that's love. That's the measure of the love of God. And that's the measure of the grace of Christ. Rich in glory which I must tonight, thou didst leave. Then it is all thy need of hope. He who was rich, thou wast poor, that we might be rich in glory for the day. So we have these two things again. He was delivered by the determinate counsel of our good God. He with wicked hands has taken the sword. Who God has made him a good friend of him, because it was not possible that he should be fallen, because he was indeed coming into manhood. By the name which I was speaking of last night, the power of the highest, the power of the Most High God has been operative in this world for the incarnation of the Son of God. Don't ask me all about it because I don't know it, I don't understand it, but I believe it. Now thou canst be the God thou art, and not the thing that I am. It's darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine to my heart. And this is one of the things that's most surely believed among us. And if you don't believe this, if you have got this, you've got nothing. Because if Christ is not who the Scriptures say he is, who he claimed to be, and who he witnessed himself to be, there's no salvation. Because it was not possible that he should be holding up it. The best illustration I can show you of this is the day when Beniah, one of David's mighty men, and he slew a lion in a pit in a time of snow. Now in a time of snow, you know, you can see everybody's footprints. And all down the ages, ever since sin came into the world, you can see men's footprints in the snow, and they've all left to the pit where the lion is. But there's one set of footprints that have been seen in the snow, and that have seen here in this world, and have gone to the pit, and his footprints have been seen on the other side, and that's the proof that the lion is dead. That's the proof that the lion is dead. That's what he did. What he did. It was not possible that he should be overlord. He was the Prince of Life. You see, death came on every man. Oh dear, I can see I'm not going to touch all of that, eh? God becoming a man, he came into conditions where he could battle death's forces, roll back every way. He tore the bars away. That which had held captive every other of Adam's race, the great, the kings, the beggars, all lie down in the dust together. Job says the worms feed upon them. They all lie down together. The brutish man, the good man, together. There was a time, you see, this man's footprints have been seen here in this world, and his footprints have been seen on the other side, and the lion is dead. He's torn the bars away. Battle death forces. The question's raised, what is man? We exclaim, Jesus! The crown of the Lamb was slain. Joyful be only thy presence proclaiming, for death thou hast vanquished by rising again. What is man? Yes, with deep adoration, gladly prolonged with his wonderful theme, Jesus, divine one, head of creation, head of his church, which he came to redeem. And that's how it is. By dying. Amen. Acts 3. 3 tells us that the God of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son, whom he delivered up. Man's died. When Pilate was determined to let him go, but he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired the murderer to be granted mercy. Whom shall I then reach on you? Your shame? Or Barabbas? Barabbas. Barabbas. What shall I do then with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. And killed. Now listen to this expression, Prince of Life. It's just what that really says. Whom God raised from the dead. Well, we are witnesses. They saw him. They were saved of the apostles. And that about 500 men at once. And in the lifetime of the apostles, you know, they could have sucked out Christianity. They could have snuffed out the light that he hears that. And all that to those who produced the body. If they produced the body, Christianity would be dead. As they say after the Sabbath. Grave was empty. And the throne was full. It's a man of glory. The Spirit of God was down here, witnessing of the glory of Christ up there. And he witnessed through Peter, but he was able to say to the man, silver and gold of my own, such as I am, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, I am my Lord, and the throne of my Lord. Why, James, he upon those, as if by our own power, we have done this mighty work. This is a witness that God raised up his son. This is a demonstration of power and unction, the Holy Spirit of God. Where we are today on. Romans 5. Well, if man did crucify our Savior, if men were his enemies, wrongfully, you look how many times it says that in the scriptures, you'll be surprised. Christ, the Spirit of Christ prophetically disarmed Persians, be my enemies. Wrongfully. Then he restored that which he took put away. And Christ died. Oh God. He died for his enemies. What love with thine can buy? Oh yes. Greatest sacrifice that a man can make is to give his life for his friend. But as the hymn says, thou for thine enemies are slain, what will the thine can buy? It's unparalleled, it's unique, it's glorious. In the time scene, the Saviour's died for a creature. Wonderful gospel this. Embraced in 6 words that Christ died and he was buried and he rose, so that the simplest child can understand it, that it's so profound. Both heaven, in both earth, in both God, God in both man. It's wonderful. And when men say, all women say, well, I'll not go tonight at all with the gospel. They have very poor ideas of what the gospel is. Very poor. Died for your sins, even while we were yet sinners. In the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, this was the way that salvation was to be wrought out. And he died. Upon the enemies. When we were without strength, when we have the ability to keep God's law, the law showed that. The law was not plumb line, you know. And if you put up a plumb line, I've been using a plumb line lately. I just been baking in the kitchen with a wife. Oh, I must get the first drop, I must get the first piece on straight. Put the plumb line on. Well, the plumb line doesn't draw the piece of paper into position. It only shows how far the perpendicular it is. Put the plumb line against the building, it will never draw the building into line. It only shows how far out it is. God's law. It only shows how far man is shot.
Christ has died for you, God.
When we were without strength and could keep God's law, when we were enemies, when we hated God, and when we were ungodly, what lovely life and die. What lovely life and die. Romans 5. I love what we have. Romans 6. Right. If we accept that then, we accept that, what's the application to us? We're planted in the likeness of his death, so that we might have indeed been raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, baptism is one of the most controversial subjects amongst all Christians, and none more controversial than amongst brethren. You see, because they're all trying to think baptism and all trying to think of just one thing. It has many applications. But anyway, I'm not going to be drawn on that line tonight. But as we've been planted in the image of his death, because if we're baptized, that's what we own. And if you keep a man in the water, he'll die, all right. That's death, that's a figure of death. You keep him there, he'll die. No, we plant him in the likeness of his death, bring him out, likeness of his resurrection, and there should indeed be walking here in newness of life. We confess. There are other aspects. Baptism does not involve this. I can speak all night on baptism. But we confess that our old man is crucified with Christ. We acknowledge that, and it went in the death of Christ. And I'm glad it did. And I'm glad to get rid of it. I am ready. And I know what it is. And I'm glad God has judged it. None knows, only God, none knows better than me what's in here. I'm ashamed of what's in here. I'm ashamed. Even now, you know, after 30 years in the Father, I'm ashamed. But that's beside the point. Planted in the likeness of his death, so that we might indeed be raised in the likeness of his resurrection, and that we might walk in newness of life. So we shouldn't be doing, we should be walking as we walked before. We should be different. I speak to the young. Speak to the young tonight. I feel I can do it now, I'm in a little bit older, you know. And if there isn't that difference, if there isn't that demarcation, you haven't seen the effect of the death of the resurrection of Christ. If you walk in your own life, reckon also yourselves indeed dead unto sin. Reckon. Reckon. Because God does, he reckons you dead unto sin, alive unto God in Christ. Just as Christ has died unto sin, in that he died unto sin, he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth, he liveth once. He's out of the sphere of where sin operated. He's died unto it. He's gone out of the sphere of it, finished with it completely. And in that he liveth, like many other on the other side, he liveth unto God. Reckon ye yourself also. The power to do it is by the Spirit of God. And God will enable you as you desire to walk thus. Now we've touched that, we've touched Corinthians, we've touched Acts, we've touched Romans, Galatians. Galatians. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is delivered you from this present evil world. Who deliver us from this present wicked world and eyes of the world. And you know, before the Lord comes, or when the Christians are up to hope to glory, the little we make the life of this world, it's being taken off virtually now by what an evil world it is. It's a terrible world. Terrible. You know, God did it by that means, by the death and resurrection of Christ, he delivered you from this present evil world. And the word finished. tyle miałem wiedzieć. Up out of, getting out of it. Still on the way he could. By the death and the resurrection of Christ, taking his other death and having a resurrection, up out of this present age of blessed be his name. So that they can say they are not of the world, as I am of the world. And it's a great feeling, you know, to be able to go through your work and so the world, you know, all these evil men around you, you know, the Spirit of God witnesses in you that you're not of the world. Oh, you want to wave the hands in our dress. You've never heard the like of it. I was living in Israel during the war. They were in the baby class, compared with the people I'm working with now. They were in the baby class, and I thought they could swear. Ephesians. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Romans presents us as alive in our sins. Alive in our sins. That answers the sheep that was lost, you know, willful and wayward, and went away. And the Savior went after the sheep. Alive in sins. But Ephesians presents us as dead in sins. No more. And it is if we're dead, we need quickening. So it's quickened together with Christ. And raised up and made us sit together in him with Christ. So that in the ages to come, he might show the richness of his grace and his kindness to all us by Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's all of us. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Deliver us from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, we'll have to think of the Lamb in its meekness and its gentleness. But you know, there's a little hymn that says, what do you do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? Well, that's today. But there's a day coming, you know, when it won't be, what do you do with Jesus? What do Jesus do with you? What would Jesus do with you? Because he's judged. Quick as the dead. Appointed to the judge to quick as the dead. It won't be a case of then what you do with Jesus, but what Jesus will do with you. Well, he's delivered us. And the word there is rescued us. He's rescued us from the wrath to come. This is the simple gospel, profound gospel, a wide gospel, a high gospel, reaching down to the bottom, length, breadth, depth, and height. It's the measure of the love of God. It's the measure of the grace of Christ. It's the measure of the mercy of God. It's the measure of the guilt of man. Christ died, was buried. Christ